Okay, we're beginning here at the beginning of Seder Kodoshim, Masechet Zvachim. Before we get going, as usual, we'll try to give a small introduction to Seder Kodoshim and Masechet Zvachim. Obviously, one of the main questions is, why would you learn these Masechtot if they're not relevant to us anymore? And especially since we find that in many places, these Masechtot aren't touched at all. They're on the shelf, they never really get investigated. So the Gemara tells us in Bamei Madlikin, Darshan's the Pasuk, Vaya Emunat Itecho Chosein Yeshuot Chochmat Vadat. Darshan's on that, that these are the Shisha Shidrei Mishnah. Emunot Ze Zraim, Itecha Ze Seder Moed, Chosein Ze Seder Nashim, Yeshuot Ze Seder Nizakim, Chochmat Ze Seder Kodashim, Vadat Zeder Tarot. The Seder Kodashim, first of all, is known as the Seder of Chochmah. So just as a beginning that it's believed to be or has a world that really is an eternal world to Kodoshim. It has its own terminology, it has its own rules, and you have to learn the internal mechanisms of how Kodoshim work, and that's part of what we're going to be doing over the next while in Seder Kodoshim. But as noted before, the Pasuk in Hosea, Perek Yudalit, says, Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, ki chashalto be'avunecha. Chu imachem dvarim, v'shuva el Hashem, Imru elav koti savon v'kach tov u'nishalma parim svatenu. And on that pasuk of nishalma parim svatenu, that the words of our lips will replace the parim. So the Gemara in Masechet Yoma says about that, bo re'esh lo k'midat kodesh baruch hu k'midat basar v'dam. Midat basar v'dam, when a person does something wrong to another party and then wants to appease them, wants to placate them, you don't know if they're going to be accepted or not going to be accepted. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the other hand, I first of all will accept your words and your tshuva that you bring. But not only be that, Lo Ela Shemakzik Lo Tova, Shenemar Kach Tov. God gives him a shkoyach that you came back and you did tshuva. Lo Od, Ushmalea Katuv, Kilu Ikriv Parim. And if the person goes to Hashem with the words of tshuva and the asking for forgiveness and appeasement, and the Pasuk says, based on what he said in Hosea, it's as if he was makriv, the parim, because of neshama, parim, svateinu. And on that, the Gemara will get to at the end of Masechet Menachot, which is really the basis of many of the Midrashim. Rav Yochanan Amar, Elu Tamirei Chachamim, Oskim Bihilchut Avodah. That refers to the Tamirei Chachamim that are engaged in the Halachot Avodah. Kalem HaKatuv, Kilu Nivneh, Beit HaMikdash B'yameihem. It's as if the Beit HaMikdash is built in their lifetime. Amar Yitzchak, Ma'irichtiv, Zot Torat HaChatat, V'Zot Torat HaHasham, the parshiot that we're reading in Vayikra now that deal with the Korbanot. Kolosek V'Torat HaChatat, Kilu Kriv Chatat. Anybody who's involved with the Torat HaChatat, it's as if he brought a Chatat. Kolosek V'Torat HaHasham, Kilu Hikriv HaSham. Person who engages in Torat HaSham, it's as if he brought an Hasham. The Midrashim that we know, both by Brit Ben Amtarim with Avram Avinu, Psikta Rabboti brings it in Piska Tetzayin by the Korban Ilachmi, which is Rabbi Acha B'Shem Rabbi Chinya Bar Papa Amer Lefisha Yisrael Mim Lashavar Ainu Makrivim Korbanot to Miska Eskimem. In the past, we were able to bring Korbanot and we were engaged in them. Bachshav She'en Anu Makrivim Maulitka Sekbem. Now that we don't aren't makriv them, should we bother to learn them or to be engaged in them? You engage in the learning about the korbanot, it's as if you have brought them. And the Rambam, in his Perush HaMishnayot, Masechet Menachot, in Perek Yud Gimel, writes, Kol Osek B'Torah, Kilu Ikriv Olam Mincha Chatat V'Asham, V'Amru Tavidei Chachamim Oskim B'Yilchot Avodah, People are engaged in the Torah of the Korbanot, as if they were makriv the Korbanot. And Hashem says it's as if the Beit HaMikdash was built in their day. Because of that, it makes sense for a person to engage in the study of Korbanot and to delve into them. And don't say that these have no meaning or no bearing on us today. Kederech shomrim harbe b'nei adam. Like many people say, like time in the Rambam already, even before that, people were already dismissing these parshiot, these starim in Shas, because they said there was no relevance to us. Rashi in Masechet Yoma says, the Shliach Tzibur that goes before the Omud on Yom HaKippurim, Shemesader Tfilato Shri Yom HaKippurim, Seder Avotav Shel Kohen Gadol, Hashem Unisham Parim Sfateinu. The reason that we say over the Avodah on Yom Kippur is because of that pasuk in Hosea, Neshama Parim Sfateinu. And similarly, when it comes to Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, like today, and any of the Musafim that we say, they all have to do with Neshama Parim Sfateinu. That through the saying of the Korbanot, engaging in the Korbanot, that we will be then credited as if we brought those Korbanot, as if the Beit HaMikdash was built in their lifetime. And the Torah in Or Chaim Siman Menchet tells us about our structure of davening. Mekabul ikrot parshat tamid keita b'midrash b'zman shei Beit HaMikdash kayam matei aleihem. But Avraham Avinu asks the Kodesh Baruch Hu, what's going to happen to Bnei Yisrael when there's no Beit HaMikdash, no Korbanot? What's going to be the schut by which they keep Eretz Yisrael? What's going to be the schut by which they survive? Amalok v'akidamti lehem seder korbanot. Kozman shei oskim b'hem mandei anei aleihem kiilu hikrivum lefanai. That I already preempted that and gave them the ability to study the korbanot and to say the korbanot. And when they do that, it's as if they have presented them or been makrib them before me. This is the Torah speaking halachically about why we say the korban atamid every day. V'tov lomar achar ribono amim atat zivan tanu lakrib korban tamid b'maldo yod kohanim b'avrotam levim b'duchanam v'yisrael b'mamadam v'ataba v'teinu rabim charav beit ha'mikdash v'tel atamid v'en lahem lo kohen b'avrotam levini b'duchano v'yisrael b'mamado v'ata amarta v'nshalm ha'parim s'pateinu l'chein yiratzom ha'fenech she'ezeh חשוב ומקובל לפניך, אילו יקרה קרבן תמיד מועדו, ואמרתי על מעמדו. The Torah quotes the closing refrain that we have in the Korbanot, in Davening, that the Ribon Olam, that we ask and beseech Hashem, that which we read was in place of the Korbanot, because we don't have the ability to bring Korbanot. What's most striking is the Chafetz Chaim's introduction to Seder Kodoshim, which is brought in the Likutei Halachot, Amasechet Zvachim. And he tries really to address the issue of learning Kodoshim and about the failure in many places to learn Kodoshim. Mipnei, he says, "Sheish bo mitzvat limud Torah, kmo shesar tzarim." First of all, Kodoshim is an obligation of limud Torah, like any one of the other five Sidrei Mishnah. V'gam shu nechshav, ilu makrivim korbanot. So on top of that, not only is there limud Torah, but when you learn these dinim, it's as if you brought the korbanot. Now, Pochu, and he says, unfortunately, the world has turned. Shalom ma'atim v'limud seder kodoshim. Bnei Yisrael have stopped learning kodoshim. Asher kimat nishtavu b'yidiyat ha'muvla gadol imaseichel min ha'amon. It's as if now, in the common folk, these matters are totally gone. Absent. V'rov ha'talmidim ein yodim v'avonotein ravim in ha'korbanot. A majority of the talmidei chachamim don't know enough about the korbanot. Afilu mashu nerbehem b'psukim rabim. Even what's written explicitly in the Torah. Ukemir shehir kol zeh Rambam b'akhtamato l'zvachim. Like the Rambam in the Parashat Mishnayot tells us in his introduction to Zvachim. And again, we read the Rambam before from the Parashat Mishnayot in Menachot about his complaining that people don't really learn these issues or think that they're not important. Umayich patlanu shakodesh baruch hu barov chasto hivtiach rabotein hakdoshim shiachshiv limudenu. Why should we be upset or question the fact that Hashem said to our forefathers, if you learn the Korbanot, it's as if you have brought them. And he says, look at the advantage. You don't have to travel all the way up to Yerushalayim. And you don't have to have this huge expenditure. You don't have to go very far. You can do it in your own house. You can do it on your own Beit Midrash. You might say parato, you can bring your korban, find your par, belimud halachot shel korbanot, v'afa b'kein, anu mitatzlim b'zeh. Despite all that, we're still lazy about it. We don't really engage in the study. Kasher nidbonein uchalu alavin, k'nichbad v'gadol erech limud seder kodoshim mikol sidrei hashas. Says that if you really think about it, you realize that kodoshim is on a higher level than all the other parts of shas. Because we find many parshiot, and many masechtot that are built on mamar achad, or parsha achad shebetorah. They're built on a small phrase in the Torah, built on a small parsha in the Torah. On Seder Zeh, Halo Ne'amru, Benishnu Parshiot Shlemot. He says, the majority of the Torah speaks to Seder Kodashim, the entire Sefer Vayikra, and Parshiot Shlemot, Besefer Shmot, Bamidbar, and Dvarim are all about Kodashim. Umizeh nuchal lavin gam adal ad kama gadol erech halimud hazeh shechalik gadol mitaroteinu kedusha ne'amar bo. Says majority of Torah Shebichtav speaks to Kodashim. If that's the case, then the limud of Seder Kodashim should be on par with its content or quantity within the Torah Shebichtav. Imkein min haroi hayu likvod limudeinu v'iyuneinu b'seder hazeh yoter mikol sharat starim. That it means more sense than to spend more time on Kodashim than anything else. It's like a leftover that people kind of learn at the tail end. They don't really engage in it. And he says, first of all, people say it's not practical. It's not something that we're engaged in day-to-day basis. He says, I know the yeshivot, they learn Sanhedrin, they learn Makot, they learn Yevamot, and many other Masechtot, where the majority of the Masechta is not relevant, b'zman hazeh. Nevertheless, they learn them, and they're a big part of what's learned in the yeshivot. If that's the case, then why can't they learn Seder Kodashim? Doesn't make sense to say, oh, that's practical. That's not practical either. So why aren't they learning these Masechtot? Imkein, Adarav Yesh Yitaron, Seder Hazeh Shu Chashuv, Kemakriv Korban. In addition, this Seder, where it's as if you brought a Korban, it's important to engage in it. And how could it be that a person would be willing to go through his whole life and not be engaged in large parts of the Torah? Especially, again, that takes up large parts of the Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh. How could it be that a person would walk away from their life and not have this? And no, whatever you don't have in Olam Hazeh, you don't have in Olam Haba. So if you don't engage in parts of the Torah, the Olam Hazeh, when you get to Olam Haba, that chisaron will be there as well. So if you're willing to excise half of Shas because it's not relevant or because it's Kodoshim, it's Tarot, then that's going to be missing for you in the Olam Haba. Va'od. Sheila Chateshol, Ilu Ayah Ba Mevaser Ne'aman L'Yisrael. If the great Eliyahu HaNavi comes, Bizman HaKarov, Tiyah Gula, tells you, the Gula is about to happen, we're on the doorstep of the Gula. Vadayayu Mizdarzim, for sure, Alfei Revot Yisrael, thousands, tens of thousands of people will be learning the halachot that are Sheyachtu Korbanot to the Mikdash, because all of a sudden they become relevant. It says, Valo, isn't that what we do? That the Mashiach is going to be here at any moment. He's going to be here at any moment. How could it be that you'd be lazy or dismiss the learning of Kodashim when it's on the doorstep of being something that is relevant? The terrible situation in which we're in, Chafetz Chaim speaking, his time. Almost all the signs that Chazal have mentioned as being the markers, precursors, indications of the Gula coming, have come true. This is the Chafetz Chaim speaking in the beginning of the 20th century. You gotta think that things are really happening. The Gula is around the corner. Therefore, for sure, in our time, there is more reason to learn, because it's really going to be halacha lemaaseh, not just things that we learn for the fact that they replaced the korbanot. He says, I went through all this trouble and to tell you about Seder Kodashim, to explain to you why it's so important that we learn Seder Kodashim, and that we make efforts to become bikiim in Seder Kodashim, and not relegate it to the dust of the shelves, and make sure that it's a part of our limud and a part of our knowledge of Torah. And if we do learn Kodashim, then we have a right to demand of God, we have the right then to make a demand of Hashem that He does it. Because when Hashem sees that we're making the efforts to greet the Mashiach by knowing all Seder Kodashim, being engaged in the Masechtot that are relevant to Binyan Beit HaMikdash, then we can demand of Hashem, why don't you bring it? We're ready. We prepared ourselves for it. But if nobody knows it, how can we demand of Hashem to bring about the Geula? Anyway, very strong words from Chafetz Chaim. He is very compelling about his arguments for learning Kodashim and why we should put Yeter Se'et, even more effort, into Seder Kodashim because of its relevance. Today, we live 100 years after he probably wrote it, and it's even more relevant to us that Geula is around the corner. Now, there is the famous machloket between the Rambam and the Ramban with regards to Kodoshim and Korbanot, where the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim mentions that the Korbanot were a derivative of the time and place in which Bnei Israel lived, and that that may not be the case, because it was unique to that period of time. In the future, when the Beit HaMikdash is brought about, there'll be a different type of avoda, whether that's only through menachot, or other types or forms of avoda, like avoda shebelev of tefillah. The Rambam is a dat yachid in this area, even though his appeal has grown significantly in our time. Because of the fact that korbanot are viewed in a different light, the Rambam, who was relegated to being a dat yachid, now today is much more mainstream because it's much more appealing towards our Western sensibilities. Therefore, it's really gained a certain amount of revival. But if you look in the Ramban and others who argue vehemently against the Rambam, including the fact that the korbanot were there from the time of Adam HaRishon, Noach, see that they are fundamentals of the Torah, not just things that were copying that which the Obdei Avodah Zarah did. And in addition, he goes through the different reasons for the different korbanot. The Mor Nevuchim himself does it, as well as the Ramban, who argues in many places, because the Rambam believes that many of the details of the korbanot are not so important, don't have a reason except for following the instructions of Hashem. As the Ramban argues that there are reasons and particularities to everything that is chosen, including which animals, which birds, why they are chosen, what's the meaning behind those birds that are chosen. And here they argue about the birds that are chosen. The Rambam seems to get in because they're tastier, they have good meat on them. The Ramban says, what are you talking about? The Bnei Yonah, which are younger birds, have almost no meat on them. Rather, they come for their skula, the way they treat their young at that time. It shows tremendous love between the parent and the child. And that's something that we want also to have. That represents us when we bring in korbanot before Hashem. And we already saw before, the Rambam in the Perush Mishnayot spoke about the importance of bringing korbanot. And many of the Rishonim who disagree with the Rambam speak to that. And in Ala Tshuva, Rav Soloveitchik, Zatzal, and Biur Rav Ala Tov speaks significantly to this. It's also brought in his Machzor of the Rosh Hashanah, the idea or the concept that is really spearheaded by the Ramban in his Perush in Vayikra, the idea that we are supposed to bring korbanot and view the korbanot as a replacement for the sacrifice of ourselves. And really this is something related to the Shem Havaya, the Shem Yudke Vavke, which is the Rachamim of Hashem, that instead of taking retribution on us directly, he allows us this opportunity to bring a representative korban by which we view as if we are placed on the Mizbeach. And in that way, Rav Soloveitchik has, I would say, an unusual view that the Torah does not eschew human sacrifice, as opposed to what seems pretty obvious from the Psukim, that the Torah says, I don't want human beings and I don't want human sacrifice. He claims that there is human sacrifice, and that's what God demands for us all the time. In the end, the only thing he does not want from us is the actual human being on the Mizbeach. But he does want the human sacrifice, but through his Shem Havaya, Yudkei Vavkei, it gives us the opportunity to do that through the Korbanot and the animals that are brought on the Mizbeach in place of the human beings. But that means that when we live our lives, the demand of our Avodat Hashem is really represented by Kodashim, Zvachim, Korbanot, which is that we owe everything to Hashem, and that we have to sacrifice everything for Hashem, and that's the way a person needs to live their lives, like that of the concept of Kodashim, which is that you're put on the Mizbeach before Hashem, and everybody's life, in essence, is lived in that manner, that we are putting ourselves on the Mizbeach of Hashem, that we dedicate our lives to the world of Kodoshim, of being Kodesh, following the ways of Hashem. So that's just a small introduction to Kodoshim and Devachim. And as we go through them, we're going to get deeper into the world of Kodoshim. And we're going to, hope Ezrat Hashem, learn and plumb the depths of these different concepts as we go through the different Masechtot. So now we begin Masechet Devachim here, with the Mishnah. Kol HaZevachim Shenizbechu Shelo Lishman Ksherim. Any Zevach that is brought in Mizbeach Shelo lishman, that is kasher. The word nizbechu over here means in synonymous with shechita, and as the Balei Tosafot point out, that's not only true by shechita, it's also true by kabbalah ulacha vizrika, and in a couple of minutes we'll speak about these being the major parts of the processes in the bringing of a korban. Rashi later on in the Gemara will seem to indicate that Shalod Ishman means that you brought it for the wrong korban, which is that instead of being an olah, you brought it as a shlamim. Instead of being a shlamim, you brought it as an olah. Rashi is influenced by the subsequent Mishnayot that give examples of what's called lishman and shalod lishman. And there the Mishnah gives you examples of that. Well, that's if you had in mind to bring it as a shlamim and then an olah, or a pesach and this. So you see that the Mishnah, in demonstrating what it means to be lishma and shalod lishma, gives you the name of the korban as being what is considered to be lishma and lo lishma. If you brought the korban for the intended korban, that's lishma. You brought it for the korban that was not intended, that's called lo lishma. The Baal Tosafot disagree with that view of Rashi, and he says that shalo lishma and lishma can also be what's called shinui ba'alim, that if you have in mind for the wrong individual, it's being brought for Reuven, and instead you think it, or you have in mind that it's being brought for Shimon. So that there are other types of lishma and lo lishma, which again the Gemara will get to when we are speaking about it, that there are a number of items that have to be in mind when a person brings the korban. And therefore the Baal Tosafot see this as being a broader statement about lishma and shlo lishma than Rashi, who seems to relegate it just to the issue of which korban is being brought. So now it says that any korban that is being brought, that is brought for the unintended korban, tishrei rim, the korban is a good korban, ela shlo alu lebaalim l'shem chova, but it does not discharge the obligation of the person who's bringing the korban. So if the person had promised, taken a neder to bring a korban ola, and then the kohen, while he's doing the avoda, has in mind that this is a korban shlamim, that intention to bring it a shlamim does not ruin it from being an ola. But it fails in discharging the obligation of the individual who had promised to bring an ola. And vice versa, if you had originally intended to bring it as a shlamim, and instead you say that you're going to bring it as an ola, that doesn't change the fact that it needs to be brought as a shlamim. Chutz, with the exception of mina pesach ve'achatat, these two korbanot, there, lo lishma undermines the korban completely. HaPesach bizmano. That is true of the Pesach in its time. And Rashi over here comments, in its time means in the last 6 hours of the day on Erev Pesach, which is the zman of the korban HaPesach. We're going to see later on when we discuss this a little more, that is not exactly true, because the Pesach goes through different periods of time. And you can see that in the Shita Mekubetze, where he differentiates in a Pesach, Lifnei Zmano, where the default is that it's a Korban HaPesach. And unless you have in mind to be Okeret, change it from being a Korban HaPesach into another Korban, it actually would be Pasul, versus a Korban after the Zman HaPesach, where Stama, the default is that it is a Shlamim, and therefore if you have nothing in mind, it will be a Kosher Korban as a Shlamim. So he knows Pesach Bizmano is not exactly just in the period of time when you're makib the Korban HaPesach. It has influence on the time period before, which is stama, that would be brought as a Korban Pesach, and therefore you'd actively have to remove the Shem Pesach from it, versus afterwards where the Shem Pesach is automatically removed, because Pesach, Achar Zmano, turns into a Shlamim, and therefore you would have it be default a Shlamim in that case. So he notes that Pesach Bizmano has somewhat of a broader influence than just those particular 6 hours of the time period of the Korban HaPesach. But a Pesach Bizmano has to be brought intentionally for a Korban HaPesach. If you intend it for a different Korban, the Korban is not only not a Korban HaPesach, it's also not kasher, it fails completely. Ve'chatat v'chozman, and a chatat at any time, and again here you can understand why, a chatat is a response to a particular action of an individual. There's no such thing as a chatat that is brought as a nidava. There's no voluntary chatat offering. Chatat is a korban that is coming to be mechaper al a particular chait, or a particular violation by an individual. And in that case, if you have the wrong intent, the korban fails not only to discharge the obligation, but fails completely, because you can't bring a chatat unless it's connected to a chait, a particular violation, as well as a particular person who did that violation. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Af HaAsham. As it says, the Asham should be no different than this. A Pesach Bizmano, again, the Pesach in the time of the Pesach. A Chatat VeHasham, the Chatat and Asham B'Chozman, at any time. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer now explains his opinion. A Chatat Ba'al HaChet. A Chatat is brought generally for a violation, for a sin. VeHasham Ba'al HaChet. And Hashem comes to discharge one's obligations in regards to kapara for those things that require an Hashem. Machatat psula shlo lishma. Just like by the chatat, as we explained before, if it's done for the wrong intent, it is pasul. Af Hashem pasul shlo lishma. So too an Hashem should carry that same requirement or have that same rule, which is if it's brought shlo lishma, it should also be pasul. Even though, we just read it in this week's parsha, there are chataot that don't come on a chet. For instance, the chatat of the yoledet. The chatat basham of the mitzora. The chatat basham hanazir. All of those chataot technically are not brought over a chet. The Gemara in a number of places darshins that those chataot might be associated with the chet. By the yoledet, the fact that she promises never to have a baby because of the pain or the pangs of childbirth. And the nazir, for the fact that he caused himself not to drink wine, but that's only associated with the Nazir B'tumah or the Nazir B'tarah as well. Or by the case of the Mitzorah, for the reasons that the Chazal bring, including the speaking of Lashon Hara. But, as we know, that's only Chazal's interpretation. From the Torah itself, it doesn't seem that way. And the Baal Tosafot say that over here. There are Chataot and Hashemot that don't come over sins. Kegon. And he gives examples. Chatat Yoledet, Basham Mitzorah, as well as the Hashem of the Mitzorah, both from this week's Parsha. Ella, Mishum Deruba Atal Achet, Mishavaluhu Adodi. Since the majority of them come because of a chet, therefore their din is equated. So here, Tosafot at least entertains the possibility that these chatot don't come on a chet, or these Hashemot don't come on a chet. That is, despite the drashot of Chazal that seem to indicate it is for a chet, the Tosafot in the Gemara and Shvuot and Daf Chet over there translates the word chet not to mean a sin, not even to mean to miss the mark, but rather a chisaron, a deficit of sorts. And that's how he explains certain chataot as being korbanot and are not necessarily brought ala chet, but rather those are things that are coming to fill some void or some deficit, and that they are the thing that allows the individual then to re-enter life for the Mitzorah or for the Yoledet to not be Tmei'ah anymore and to enter the Mikdash. And that is what the meaning of Chatat is. And therefore, you can't translate Chatat as Basham, meaning a sin offering or a guilt offering. It is an offering that comes to fill some sort of void or complete something. And in that way, he says that even though all Chatot are not necessarily associated with Chet, we still assign them the same din because that's the way it generally works. When you have a type of korban, all those korbanot have the same din, and you can't bring a chatat unless it's connected to a particular person, and that would be true of these chatot as well. Now Yossi ben Chuni Omer, Anishchatim l'shem Pesach, or l'shem chatat psulim. So he takes this in the other direction as well, and says it's not limited to the fact that a korban chatat and a korban Pesach that have the wrong intent with them are pasul, any other korban that is brought for the intent of a chatat, or the intent of a Pesach Bizmano, they are also problematic. Meaning that if you shecht a shlamim for a chatat, it's going to be problematic. Just like a chatat that is shechted for a shlamim, shlodi shma is problematic, so too a shlamim that is brought for a chatat will be problematic. Rashi over here says that when you bring the other korbanot, the shem Pesach, that is during the time period when it's zman a Pesach. That seems to limit this problem to a case when you bring other korbanot on the Zman of Pesach, l'shem of Pesach. That means that these korbanot that are brought the rest of the year, if you did it l'shem Pesach, it would not be a problem. And that likely is because Pesach, b'shar yamot ha-shana, is really deemed to be a shlamim. And therefore, if you bring another korban, l'shem Pesach, lo b'zmano, that would be the equivalent of saying that it is l'shem shlamim, which would not be problematic. Shimon Achi Azariah, this is a beautiful piece in the Mishnah. It says, Shimon, the brother of Azariah. Why is he known as the brother of Azariah? You look in Rashi, Hashem she Azariah asak b'pragmatia. His brother, Azariah, was a businessman. V'sipek tzorchei Shimon achiv b'shashay osek b'torah. He supported his brother in his limud ha-torah. And Rashi says, l'fikach nikra shimo shlamada yado. The credit goes to Azariah because he's the one who supported the Torah of Shimon. And that's why he's known here as Shimon Achi Azariah. Shimon, the brother of Azariah, that gets full credit to the one who supported the brother who was learning Torah. Their partnership, like the partnership of Yisachar and Zvulun, is also played out here. But the beautiful thing is that the Mishnah quotes the brother who provided the financial support and gives credit to him for the Torah of Shimon. So Shimon Achi Azari Omer, Shachatan B'Shem Gavoa Mehen K'sherim. If you give it as an upgrade, a mistaken kavanah that you have in the Korban is to elevate it, meaning it's an upgrade. Shem Namuch Mehen, on the other hand, if it's a downgrade, psulin, then it is problematic. And both the Chazon Ish and the Keren Ora are medayek here, that it's only a downgrade that is problematic, but is on par with the one that you are bringing, that would not be problematic according to Shimon Achi Azariah. Ketzad, what are the categories that we are speaking about? Kodshe Kodoshim. There are actually basically three levels of korbanot that you can bring. There are Kodshe Kodoshim, Kodshe Kalim, and then there are residual of korbanot that are subset of the Kodshe Kalim, the Bechor, the Maser, and the Pesach, which are even on a lower level. They only require a single matan dam towards the mizbeach, and they have other kulot that are associated with them, including if they get a mum, what do you do with them, or what is their status when they get a mum in them. So these hierarchy and korbanot have different dinim. Just as way of introduction, since we are standing out Masachet Zvachim, the difference between Kodshe Kodoshim, Kodshim Kalim, and these other korbanot are, number one, Kodshe Kodoshim, aside from the olah, the meats, or that which is eaten from the Korban, is only eaten by the Kohanim. Number two is, they may not leave the Azara. They have a limited scope of where you're allowed to have them, the Kodshi Kodashim. They must be eaten within the area of the Azara. Number three is, all Kodshi Kodashim have to be shechted in the Tzafon, on the northern side of the Mizbeach. There are other halachot, which we'll get to in Masechet Me'ilah, that have associations with Kodshi Kodashim. On the other hand, Kodshe Kalim, there is even a machloket amongst the Tanaim as to whether Kodshim Kalim are Mamon Gavah, they belong to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, or they are Mamon Balim, they belong to the Balim. And as you can imagine or envision, the Korban Kodshe Kalim are actually eaten by the Balim and not the Kohanim. There are gifts from the Kodshe Kalim that go to the Kohanim, but in general, the majority of the animal and the Korban that is brought is eaten by the Balim, the owners, even if they're not Kohanim. In addition, the scope of where you can eat it is the entire Yerushalayim, and it's been eaten within the Chomot Yerushalayim, and they can be eaten by anybody who is Tahor, not just the Kohanim, partake of the Kodshim Kalim, and they can be shechted anywhere in the Azara. So those are the different levels. In terms of the Matnot Dam, there are overlaps between Kodshe Kodashim and Kodshim Kalim. The lowest level is the Bechor Maser and the Pesach, which again we'll get to. The major difference is that you only put one matan dam on the mizbeach for them, as opposed to shtayim shein arba by majority of korbanot, or for the chatat, the arba matanot on the arba karanot. So here they have a lower status, as well as the fact that if they get a mum in them, they have a din of being eaten kechulin, as opposed to being needed to be exchanged like that of other korbanot. So those are the hierarchy, and so now he gives the example. He took Kodshe Kodashim and downgraded them and thought of a Kodshim Kalim instead of a Kodshe Kodashim. So for instance, he was bringing Olah and he thought about it for a Shlamim. Shlamim in general, with the exception of the Shalmei Tzibur that are brought on Shavuot, are Kodshe Kalim. So he thought about it, instead of an Olah, he thought about a Korban Shlamim, Psulim. Kodshe Kalim, Shishachtam Lashem Kodshe Kodashim, Ksherim. The other hand, it was an upgrade. He was bringing a shlamim, and instead of bringing it as a shlamim, he thought of it as a olah. That would be an upgrade from Kodshe Kalim to Kodshe Kodashim, and therefore it would be kasher. So he is limiting the scope of what we began the Mishnah with, that anything shelo lishma is kasher. He says that's only true if it's an upgrade. If it's a downgrade, that's not true. And similarly, abachor v'maser, sheshachtan l'shem shlamim, that are brought for a shlamim, ksherim. They are ksherim, because that's a lower form of Kodshe Kalim, that's upgraded to a shlamim, which is Kodshe Kalim. On the other hand, shlamim, sheshachtan l'shem bechor l'shem ma'aser, psulim. If you downgrade the shlamim to a bechor ma'aser, then that would not be good. Again, this is the view of Shimon Achi Azariah. Now from Rashi, it sounds like even according to Shimon Achi Azariah, the Korban, HaPesach, and Chatat would still have the same rules. It would still be pasul if you did shlo lishma and you upgraded them. On the other hand, the Keren Ora wants this midayik out of the Mishnah that just the opposite. That when you upgrade, it is a solution to all korbanot, including the Pesach and the Chatat. Now the Gemara says, Lomali v'mitna. Why does the Mishnah say, Ella, shalo alu? It's as if it's making a strong point over here and saying, despite the fact that they are kasher, they do not discharge the obligation of the Balim. Why don't you just write, litnei v'lo alu l'balim l'shem chova? Why don't you just state it as a fact that a korban is brach lo lishma, it's kasher, and lo alu l'balim, and it doesn't discharge the obligation? What is the addition of the word of ella, but, which gives some sort of emphasis on this matter? Ha kamashmalan, l'balim hu d'lo alu l'shem chova, alba k'dushotayu kaimei. It's trying to make a point or emphasize the fact that this korban is kasher, with the exception of the fact that it does not discharge the obligation of the balim. And therefore, it is a completely kasher korban with all its full trappings of a korban and the holiness of a korban. And therefore, you can't make any other changes in it. You could think, I made a mistake already. I did something wrong. Once I did something wrong, I may as well do a couple other things wrong or not be makpid about the other things. It's coming to dispel that type of thought process, similar to what people do when they are on a fast day and they eat on a fast day. They say, oh, I ate already, I broke the fast, I may as well keep eating. So one problem or one mistake should not precipitate other mistakes or other problems. And like Rabbah says, Damarova, Ola Shashta Shlolishma, and Ola that was done Shlolishma, like our Mishnah says, which is Asur Lizrok Dama, Shlolishma. You can't then do the Zvikat Adam, which is part of the Avudot that are associated with the Korbanot. You can't do that Shlolishma and say, all right, I already did the Shkita Shlolishma, I may as well do the Zrika Shlolishma. No, you have to then maintain the Korban in its proper way, even though there was a mistake or Shlolishma that happened at some point. You can't just say, once the problem has arisen, just let's do whatever we want with it. As Rashi notes over here, that there's a restriction against making any changes in any one of the other Avodot. Implied in that is the avoda that you are doing Shlolishma, you can maintain and will stay that way. You don't have to change it. But any other subsequent avoda must be done Lishma. And that, the Chazon Ish says, even has to be done the Shem Balim, even though it will not discharge their obligation as the Balim. And that is because the failure to discharge the obligation of the Balim over here is because in one of the Avodot you have a problem, as Rashi notes. That Avodah was done Lo Lishma, and that Avodah creates the problem. But the remaining Avodot have to be done intact, and intact means the way that it was originally intended, including the Shem Balim. Now, this leads us into, and I'll give again just a small introduction here, that there are four major processes that are dealt with what's called zvachim, and those are animal korbanot that are brought on the mizbeach. The major processes there are shechita, the shefting of the animal, kabbalat adam, which is the accepting of the dam into a receptacle, then there's holachat adam, taking the dam from where it was received to be placed on the mizbeach. And then there is Zrikat Adam, or the placement of the dam on the Mizbeach. Those are the four major avodot that are associated with a Zevach. And much of what we will speak about in Masechet Zvachim will revolve around those four avodot, Machshavot, thoughts during those four avodot, what needs to be done during those four avodot, but they are central to the Zvachim. With regards to Ofot, with birds, which is, again, a step down from a Zevach of a Behemah, the birds have two major processes that are involved. One is maliko, that is the equivalent of shechting for a bird in the Mikdash. And then mitzvah adam is putting the dam on the mizbeach. Again, it's different for an olah or for a chatat. How the dam is put on the mizbeach, but that is getting the dam to the mizbeach. So those are the two processes that are there. With regards to mincha, meal offerings, the mincha also has four processes, which when we get to minachot, we'll discuss parallel the four avodot of the zevach. And that is by menachot, you have the kmitzata mincha, the putting of that komets in a kli sharet, the taking of that komets to the mizbeach, and then the placement of the mizbeach, which are parallel to those four avodot that we find by the zevach of shechita, kabbalat adam, holacha, and zrika. Again, once we get to Masechet Menachot, we'll discuss that more extensively. So here, Rava says, just because you made a mistake in shechita, doesn't mean you should go make a mistake in another one of the important avodot of Zrika. Ivaitei masvoro, ivaitei makro. The reason behind Rava's statement, some say it's just a logical argument, others say it's from the pasuk. Some say it's a logical argument. Again, it's a rhetorical question. Just because you made one mistake means you should make more mistakes. Two mistakes don't make it better. One mistake's enough. Or, again, if you ate on a fast day, to eat more doesn't make the situation better. It makes it just worse because you continue to eat on a fast day. Similarly over here, you made a mistake about one of the avodot. To continue to make mistakes does not enhance the situation in any way. That's just a logical argument. Some say that it is the pasuk, which is, Motzeh fatecha tishmor vasita kasher nadarta l'shem lokecha nidava. That which emanates from your mouth, meaning that which you have said, tishmor, you must keep. Vasita kasher nadarta, and you must do that which you pledge to do l'shem lokecha nidava. So the word nidava here seems to be misplaced. And that is because the Gemara views neder and nidava as being two types of voluntary offering that are created, function in a different way. A neder is a personal obligation by which the person guarantees that he's going to bring a korban. He obligates himself to bring an olah. He obligates himself to bring a shlamim. It's usually expressed as hare alai. I am accepting upon myself this obligation to bring such a korban. That's called a neder. A nidava is where a person donates a particular object to the mikdash or to Hashem. Where he says, I want this animal to be a shlamim. I want this animal to be an olah. The difference between them generally is achrayut, which is your responsibility to discharge the obligation. When it comes to a neder, since it's a personal obligation, if you set aside an animal to bring up and you fail to bring it, the obligation is still upon you. The obligation is not discharged until you get a korban on the mizbeach or do what you said you were going to do. On the other hand, a nidava is a pledge of a particular item. If something goes wrong with that item, then the pledge is done because failure to complete it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the fact that the object, for whatever reason, isn't functional anymore. So if you pledged an animal, this particular animal, to be a korban and then it dies, then that animal is no longer the korban. And that's why you can't discharge your obligation. You did what you were supposed to do, which is dedicated to the Hekdesh. But now that it's Hekdesh, it dies, it's dying under the auspices of Hekdesh, it's not your issue. So here the Pasuk seems to conflate the terms Neder and Nidava. And that's what the Gemara is asking about. Hi, Nidava, how can you call it a Nidava? Nederu, it's really a Neder. Ella, the way to explain it, basically gets us to the din of Rava, which is, Im kamash nedarta asita, yehei Neder. If you discharge your obligation and did what you said you were going to do, then the korban will be delineated or designated as a korban of a neder. V'im lo, if in some way you fail to do what you said in your neder, nidava yehei, then it will be a voluntary offering, an offering that says, I'm donating something to the mikdash, but does not discharge my particular obligation in this case. So if the person promised to bring up an olah to the mikdash, and then he designated one of his animals to be an olah, and then he goes out and he brings it as a shlamim instead, now it will become a nidava instead of a neder. It will not discharge his obligation of the neder to bring an olah, yet it will still be a kosher korban, a voluntary offering as a nidava. And now the rhetorical question is, u nidava mishari lishtoyeba. When you bring up a voluntary offering like that, who allows you to do whatever you want? You have to follow the protocols of a nidava. So what he's saying is, if a neder then flips into being a nidava, when you do it lo lishma, then you're still bound by the rules of a nidava. And a nidava has the same protocols and procedures as any other korban, and that's why you're not allowed to change or do anything different than you would with a kosher korban, and that would be the proof to Rava's, the support of Rava's position from a pasuk. Amalei Ravina the Rav Papa, lo avait gaban b'orka b'tchuma bei charmech, Derami Rova Mile Malioto Dodi Vishani Lahu. You missed out last night. You were not within the Tchum. Within the Tchum means this was going on Shabbat. Beit Midrash generally were not found in the city. They were found out in the fields. What he said is you weren't within the area that would have allowed you to attend the Beit Midrash on Shabbat. And therefore you missed out in this place called Be'er Chamech when Rova was teaching. Because he asked a question what seemingly is a contradiction between two different Mishnayot. And in the end, he gave an answer that was exceptional. The Gemara wants to know, my mili malioto, what exactly was this great thing that Rava was saying? It's not our Mishnah here. Kol hazvachim shenizbechu shelo lishman. Any zerach that's brought, not for the proper intent, shelo lishma, Taima de Shlosh Rishman. That's only because it was brought with improper intent. Hastama, if it was done by default, meaning that you had nothing in mind, Alu Nami Lebalin, the Shem Chova, then you would have discharged your obligation. It's only some negative kavanah that causes a problem, which is taking it away from what it was designated to be. But if you have no thought, then the default will follow whatever it was supposed to be, and you would discharge your obligation. That means that the default is as if you did it lishma. On the other hand, Rimini, we have a Mishnah in Gitin, called get shenichtav shalo l'shem isha pasul. Any get that's not written for the particular woman who's being divorced, it is pasul. That's what we call lishma by Gitin. Vistama nami pasul. And the default is, the get is pasul, even if he didn't write it shalo lishma. Vishani zvachim bistam lishma nomdim, isha bistam alav legerushim omedet. And his answer was that a korban, its default status is to end up on the mizbeach. And since its default status is to end up on the mizbeach for the particular korban it was designated to be, therefore when you have nothing in mind, it will follow that default status. On the other hand, when it comes to a woman is not by default set up to be divorced. That is not the general path of a woman. And that's not the generic or default status of a woman to be divorced. And therefore, you can't say if the name is in the get, you can assign that by default to the woman who has that name because you need lishma. The woman has to be particularly designated to be divorced. Otherwise, we don't assume she's within the parshia of divorce. And Tosafot goes as far as to say, even if a woman has had an extramarital affair where the husband can no longer live with her and he has an obligation to divorce her, the truth is there is no obligation to divorce her. He can continue to keep her as a wife, elo shalot shamshenu, but he cannot have bia or tashmisha mitah with her. So here the Baal Tosafot offers a possibility that a person, even though they're obligated to divorce the woman, that doesn't make her stam legerushim omedet, because he can maintain the woman without engaging her in a way that is a way of isur. That is a big chiddush of the Baal Tosafot. It seems to me that there are certain circumstances where the woman is omeg legerushin because of the particular action that she took, but as a whole or in general, women are not omedet legerushin, and that's the way that you would deal with it. The Baal Tosafot over here asks a question that we discussed actually in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. There, he asks, based on this Gemara, on the Gemara there, which is that when it comes to a non-Jew doing these items, we also say that there's a problem. For instance, a non-Jew who writes a get, we say the get is pasul, even if there is a Jew, omed al gabav, even if a Jew is instructing him what to do, nevertheless, he can't generate lishma that is needed in these cases. The get requires lishma. The goy can't do that, even with the Jew instructing him to do that. Yet, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that when it comes to giving a brit milah, if a kuti gives the brit milah is pasul, because he does it l'shem his God and har grizim. And so therefore he has alternate thoughts about why he's doing the milah. He's not doing it l'shem shamayim, and therefore it's pasul. On the other hand, a brit that is done by an armai, done by a non-Jew, is kasher. When the Jew instructs him to give a brit milah, that is kasher, because stama, he's doing it for whatever the Jew told him to do, and therefore it'll be a brit milah l'shma. So Tosua doesn't understand. He says, how can it be that a brit milah, you can have the goy fulfill the obligation of lishma when it comes to a brit milah, and yet, when it comes to a get, you can't have him fulfill the lishma that is associated with a get. What's different between a brit milah and a get? His answer is our Gemara over here. Like the Gemara says over here, a woman is not stama, is not by default set up for divorce. And therefore, when the goy goes and writes the get, you can't impose a lishma. You can't get him to that default status because the default status doesn't exist. On the other hand, for a brit milah, the Baal Yitus would say that the default status of a brit milah is lishma. And since that's the default status, if you instruct the goy to do it, and there's no reason for him to have any alternate thoughts about it, then that will generate the lishma that is needed in these situations because that is the default standing of a brit milah. And as I said back in Avodah Zarah, and I'll repeat it now, that is very likely in their time. In their time where brit milah was only performed by Jews, and it was a religious ceremony of Jews, not a medical procedure, you can say that the stam brit milah is done lishma, because that's the only way that a person would do it. But now, a non-Jew giving a Brit Milah might have in mind, actually, alternate thoughts. Not just the Brit Milah of the Jew or that religious ceremony of the Jew. He might have in mind that it's a medical procedure, and therefore this din of the Tosafot may not be true today. But he says, at least it was true in their time, that this idea of stam has impact when you're trying to create the lishma. How much lishma do you need? Can you impose or can you have someone else simulate the effect of the default status and therefore create the lishma? And by gittin, the Bali Tosafot point out, based on what we said here, no, because the stam isha is lav legeushin omedet, as opposed to brit milah, which is stam, the brit milah is lishma, just like here, by the zvachim, where the stam status of the zevach is lishma. The Gemara says, uzvachim bistama kisherim minolan. How do you know that? The wording in the two Mishnayot is identical. And yet, Rava is medayik out of our Mishnah that stam, it's good. And is medayik out of the Mishnah in Gitin, that it's no good. So how does he get that? Ilema mahad, it's not. If you're going to say it's from the wording of our Mishnah, kol zvachim shniz b'chush lo lishman, it says that you have to have a negative thought. V'lo tani, shlo niz b'chu lishman. It doesn't formulate it in the positive. If you didn't do it lishma, that it is problematic. That would have implied that the default would have been problematic. When you just say, if you have negative kavanah, it's problematic, that implies that neutral kavanah should be fine. Gabi get, nami haktani. The get is formulated the same way. Kol get shinikav shelo l'shem isha pasul. It's formulated in the negative. If you don't do it lishma, then it's pasul. The lo tani doesn't say shelo nikav l'shem isha pasul. Doesn't say if you fail to write it lishma, then it is pasul, which would have been the positive formulation and indicated the default was problematic. So you have the same formulation in the Mishnayot. So how is Rava coming to a different conclusion about these Mishnayot? Elamiha ditnan. It's from this Mishnah. Ketza lishman v'shalo lishman. What is the scenario of lishman and shalo lishman? This is the Mishnah that influenced Rashi's explanation in the Gemara earlier, which I noted the Bali Tosafot disagree with, which is, what's the explanation of lishman and shalo lishman in our Mishnah? That's what's being said here. L'shem Pesach or l'shem Shlamim. You see, Mishnah is indicating to you that what's lishma? The name of the type of the korban. What's lo lishma? A different type of korban. And that's how Rashi explained our Mishnah. The Bali Tosafot show that that's not necessarily limited to that. It happens to be the example that it brings, but it's not limited to that scope, and therefore they think our Mishnah is speaking about other items as well, including the shinui ba'alim, having it in mind for the wrong person that's bringing the korban. But there it says, lishman shlo lishman l'shem pesach l'shem shlamim. He intends to bring it as a pesach, and he intends to bring it as a shlamim. Taima damar l'shem pesach l'shem shlamim. It's because he had an improper thought that it's problematic, because he said Pesach and Shlamim. How the shame Pesach ustama? Had he had in mind for Pesach and said nothing else, kasher, then it would have been totally fine. Alma, from this you see, staman kilishaman domi. That the default is if you do it lishma. The Mishnah, when it gives an example, gives you examples of negative kavanah. And it giving you examples of negative kavanah shows you that the problem or the failure is in the negative kavanah. You're bringing your korban at Pesach. You have in mind l'shem Pesach, but then you also have in mind l'shem Shlamim. That l'shem Shlamim is what causes the failure. Had you just had in mind l'shem Pesach and didn't have any other thoughts, then it would have been kasher. That shows you that the default is that it is kasher. You need the negative kavanah to ruin it. Now Rashi over here explains that this all happens within the maaseh shechita, which is that in the beginning of shechita, he has in mind l'shem Pesach. At the end of shechita, he has in mind so that it's not, that's l'shem Shlamim. So he says, in one particular process of the four processes that we discussed, he says that you had in mind both machshavot. The Bali Tosafot say, I don't really understand what Rashi is saying over here. Are you telling me that a person, when they're bringing a korban, has to have in mind the entire time that they're doing l'shem Pesach? When he says, I'm doing l'shem Pesach at the beginning of Shkita, if he doesn't keep saying l'shem Pesach, that's not being done right? Once you say it once, we assume that everything that's done afterwards is done under the rubric of what you've said, the Shem Pesach. So how could you argue that it is about Shem Pesach and Shem Shlamim within one particular avodah? And that's what Tosfot asks. V'chin chol sha yishol daber ad shi gomer shkitato. You do this until you finish the shkita. Near the faresh, b'shtei avodot ayri. Bali Tosfot would say, it's not about within one avodah, you have two machshavot, but rather, if you're going to shachit l'shem Pesach, v'kibel stam. It's talking about when you shecht the Pesach, the Shem Pesach, And then he did Kabbalat Adam, either for Shlamim, or he did the Kabbalat Adam without any Makshava in it. That's the Stam Makshava. But it's in two different Avodot. Although he said that the Gemara Psachim seems to sound like Rashi's explanation, and he says, to explain Rashi, I'll say this, that if you have to say it, you'll do it in Shechita when there are two Simanim. You need two Simanim in order to shecht an animal to be kasher. You need one whole Siman and the robe of the second Siman. And the Makshavot will be associated between the two Simanim. But then, isn't he back to the square one? You have to have a Makshava all the way through. He says, V'yesh le'shev da'filu im tim salamar shem pesach ustama pasul. You don't have to speak the whole time. As long as you declare your intent in the beginning of the Shechita process and say kol, that it'll be binding on the whole Shechita, then that one articulation or machshava can cover the whole Shechita. But when you stop, make a statement, then opens up the possibility that the Shechita, which is a process, could have multiple machshavot along the way. So Tosafot says, in order to answer how you could have it in one avodah and still not have to repeat it every time, is when you say for the whole Shechita, this is what I have in mind. But if you simply say, I'm doing it L'Shem Pesach, then you could also have L'Shem Shlamim, or you could have it be default. It's not clear what's happening with the residual of that process of Shechita, because you didn't make a declaration of Kol in the beginning. And that's how he reconciles Rashi's Shita with not having to articulate every moment of your action. So now we have seemingly approved from the Mishnah further on. Time of the Amr Hashem Pesach, Hashem Shamim, Hashem Pesach, Stamah Kasher. Alma, Staman Kilishtam Dami. Dilma, Shani Otam. How do you know? Maybe that's not true. Damar, Kolosel, Dat Rishona, Hu Oseh. The reason it is Kasher is basically from what the Balei HaTosafot say over here, which is once you articulate or you declare a certain Kavanah, we assume that that Kavanah carries through everything you're doing. So again, when you have Matzah Shmura, where there's a machloket, we'll get to in Masechah Menachot, it's whether matzah shmura means literally watched, or shmura means l'shem ha-mitzvah. We're makpid for both, that we watch the shmura matzah from the time the wheat is cut, we have someone watching it. In addition, anytime we engage in the mitzvah making matzah shmurot, we say l'shem matzah mitzvah, we declare our intent with regards to it. So here, the Gemara points out that once you made that declaration in the beginning, we assume everything that's done afterwards is done under that l'shem matzah mitzvah, or l'shem whatever mitzvah you're doing. If that's the case, maybe you can't prove anything from that Mishnah by l'shem Pesach or l'shem Shlamim. Yes, l'shem Pesach, l'shem Shlamim is pragmatic, implying l'shem Pesach and Stam would be fine, but that still has l'shem Pesach at least declared in the beginning. Maybe that declaration carries through. Elam Seifa, you can prove it from the latter half of that Mishnah. Shalo l'shman v'lishman. In a case where it's first of all lishma and then lishma, l'shem shlamim and l'shem pesach, he did it l'shem shlamim the pesach, and then he did the pesach l'shem pesach. Taima d'amar l'shem shlamim and l'shem pesach. It's only because you made a statement that was negative that it ruins it. Hastama or l'shem pesach kasher. Had you said nothing in the beginning and then said l'shem pesach, it would have worked. So there again, it seems to be that stama, the default is to do it the right way. Where it says dilma shani otam. Over there, maybe it's also different. Damar, yochiach sofo al tchilato. Your declaration in the end shows or demonstrates what your intent was all the way through. So again, if you have Shem Shlamim, Shem Pesach, the Shem Shlamim is problematic and it's posel. Then when you have stomach, you don't say anything. And then afterwards you say the Shem Pesach, that the Shem Pesach will indicate to us that's what you were intending all the way through, to do the Shem Pesach. So again, you can't prove anything about stomach. Inami, or the other possibility is, I did a ton of lishman, mishlo lishman. Tana Nami, Shlo Lishman V'Lishman. Or you can say it's just a literary style of the Mishnah. The Mishnah in the beginning gave it in the order of Lishma and Lo Lishma, and then it reverses it in the Seifa. Not to make a deal out of the Seifa and say, oh, Mistama, then it would be fine. It's just a parallel structure to the Resha, and therefore you can't even indict anything out of the Seifa, because it wasn't written for its own integral need. It was written only as a parallel structure to that beginning of the Mishnah. Elamiha, the reason that it works as a default is because of this. The Shem Shishat Varim Azebach Nizbach. The Korban is brought for the following six things. This is found in a Mishnah further on in Daf Mem Vav Amud Bet. Now, the Balei Tosafot over here also note, we will discuss it in a number of places, it's a question as to whether you need to have explicit articulation when it says lishma, or is it enough that you have kavanat halev? Is it enough that you have it in mind to do such a thing? As Tosfo pointed out on the previous Amud, where he said, in Baba Metzia, the Gilyon HaShasim Kiv Eger notes it as well. Do you need to have articulation or a simple thought enough? And that again is this issue as to whenever we demand either Kavanah or Lo Lishma or Lishma, does that require articulation or is that simply Machshava believe? Korban has to be brought for these six reasons. The shame Zabach, for the particular Korban that you intend. The shame Zoveach, for the Baalim, the individual who is bringing the Korban. The shame Hashem, for God, or the shame Shamayim. The shame Ishim, to be placed on, the way Rashi says it over here, on the fire to be burnt, Hashem, and not as a barbecue or something that has ulterior motives to putting the meat on the Mizbeach. The shame Reach, in order that they produce a good smell associated with them. Rashi says that comes to exclude a case where you've already cooked or burnt the items and then you place them on the Mizbeach afterwards. They're not Reach. And the shame Nichoach, in order to bring Nachat Ruach to Kodesh Baruch Hu, to give Hashem, be pleasing to Hashem, that you have listened and followed through on His commands. And V'chatat V'Hashem, the shame Chet. And the Chatat and Hashem have a seventh item, which is the particular violation for which they are coming to be Mechaper. Amar Rav Yossi, Af Mishloya Bilibo L'Shem Achat Mikolele, Kasher. Even if a person has none of these six things in mind, the Korban is kasher. Shetanai Beit Din Hu. That is a condition of Beit Din. Atnu Beit Din. Dolo Leim Lishmo. Dilma Ati Lemein Malish Lo Lishmo. Beit Din figure that this is too much to ask of the individuals, and there's more likelihood of a mistake. If you demand of them to have the right Kavanah, the proper Kavanah, do Lishmo, then there's a high risk that they're going to get it wrong, and in doing so, they'll ruin the Korban. So better they say nothing, and that we set it up that the default will be that it is the shame that Korban, and the shame whatever is required here. And so Beit Din lays out these six items and says that that is the default of the assumption of someone who brings it lishma. If you think that the default scenario of a Korban is that it's pasul, Beit Din is going to go and establish something that otherwise will make the Korban pasul, and say, oh, don't worry about it, do it shelo lishma, don't have anything in mind, just do it for its default status. That can't be. Those who are over here ask, why is it going through all these acrobatics to tell you that stomach kosher? That is the way you would have read that Mishnah. That's exactly what's meant by the Mishnah, that Beit Din established that these six items by default will be that way. Why is there so much extra wording here? The Baal Tosfot would say something interesting, and he says, Nir Lefereish, that really, you could have understood the Mishnah to mean that when he says he didn't have any of these minds, meaning he doesn't articulate it. But he does. He had in his heart what he intended to do. So you could have interpreted that Mishnah as being that Beit Din doesn't require you to articulate, but you do have to have in mind, in your heart, that it's done for that particular purpose. That's what Rava comes along and says, Hastama kosher. Now that's not what's meant by the Mishnah over there. It doesn't mean no articulation but keeping it in mind. It means stama, default. Meaning that you don't have to articulate, you don't have to have in mind in your heart, you can just have nothing in mind, and that will work because that is the Tanai Beit Din with regards to the Korban, and that's because the default status of a Korban is to end up on the Mizbeach. And this goes to what we mentioned before, what the Baalei HaTosafot say when you have the necessity for lishma or machshava, does that require intent with through articulation, or is intent through thought enough? And you see that over here, that the Baal HaTosafot are saying, possibly as a havamina, that thought would be enough, and that you would not need articulation. And then when it says that you can have stoma, that means a lack of articulation and a lack of having it in mind at all. The Gemara says, but gavi get is stama pasul minalan. How do you know that a stam get is pasul? If it is because of what you see in the Mishnah, Ayover Bashuk, Mishama Sufrim Makrim, Ish Ploni Girish Plonit, Mimakom Plonit, he's going through the Shuk and he hears the teacher teaching the students to write a get, and the teacher says, write Abraham is divorcing Sarah. And all of a sudden he goes, oh my gosh, that's my name, that's my wife's name. Pasol de Gareshbo. You can't use that as a get. You see there that if it's written generically, you can't use the get. Bar says, Tilma Kidero Papa. Maybe over there the failure is not because it was written generically, but rather, Damara Papa, Hakam Sofrim, Hasuim Litameda Skinan. That case in the Mishnah is a case where it's a teacher teaching the students. So they're not even writing it for a get. They're writing it as a practice. It wasn't written as a bill of divorce whatsoever. You can speak about three different levels of kavanah. You can have someone who's writing something because they want to learn how to write it. That process imbues nothing in the document whatsoever. It is just a test document. It's a practice document. On the other hand, you could be writing a document, which is a generic document. It's an intended bill of divorce. You just don't have the intended people in mind. You make up names or you make up the place. But it is meant as a bill of divorce, and you hope that somebody with that name will come along and want to use it. And then there is, of course, one that is written for the particular individuals. So what the Gemara is pointing out is the Mishnah that you just quoted is of that lowest form, which is it was written as a practice, not even to be for a bill of divorce. All right, we're going to stop here on the last line of Bet Amud Bet, and we'll continue tomorrow with the discovery from the Mishnayot and Gittin as to how we know that a stam get is pasul.